you found that, stand with me. We'll reverence the Word of God together and read a couple of verses. I know what I'm going to read to you first is very familiar, but the 10th verse is the verse we're going to focus on tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, today for all the blessings, and Lord, we thank You for those who have came back out tonight to study a little more of Your Word. And Lord, we just pray that You'll challenge our hearts together tonight. Lord, we lift up the special needs. We think of the sick. And Lord, for all the others that are not with us, for whatever reasons, we want to remember them as well tonight. But Lord, we pray for the next few moments that You'll challenge us and help us to understand Your will for our life. And maybe where we're lacking, You will show us where we need to strengthen. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. One of my all-time favorite movies is a movie called Where the Red Fern Grows. How many's ever seen the movie? I love that movie. I love the part when the grandpa talks to the little boy. The little boy's been praying for what? What was he praying for? Coon Hound Puff. He's been praying and praying and praying. And he told his grandpa, he said, for some reason, God don't want me to have Coon Hound Puff. That's what he thought. How many of you have ever been praying and praying for something and it just doesn't happen and you get to think, well, maybe God don't want me to have it? You ever been there? Well, listen, there's more to it than just praying. There is. Now, this is going to bust our bubble a little bit tonight. Do you know God expects us to work? He's got something for us to do. It's just not all about praying and God sending it down. And the grandpa told the little boy, what? You got to meet God halfway. And the boy got out all summer and he worked. Remember how that worked out? He worked all summer and made his money and sent that money in and he got his coon hound pups, right? And you say, well, how did God have anything to do with it? God provided the work. God provided the help for him to be able to work. Y'all still here? God provided the man that would sell him the dogs. You know, God provided everything. It's just not that you just wake up one morning because you've been praying for them and there they are on the doorstep. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if that life was? Lord, you know, we're needing some money. You know, we're having trouble paying the bills. And Lord, we're praying and we love You, Lord. We're going to church all we can. And I just go to the bank and just check. Miss Teller, could you tell me by any chance, has there been some money just dropped in my account that I don't know about? You know what they tell me every time? No. Usually they tell me that I had a check that I didn't write down. And did you know you had? Well, I thought I had this much. Did I ever do that? Well, I want you to know that work is involved in the work of God. Work is involved in the work of God. Now let me set the record straight before we go any further. Salvation is a gift. You can't work it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. There's not one thing you do that can achieve it. It is totally, 100% a gift from God. Amen? But you know what He said in verse 10? We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. God expects us to work. And there are some old stories in the Old Testament that re-challenged me this week of how I underestimate God. And so I titled the message tonight simply this: doing our part. God is doing His part, but are you doing your part? And then I might even ask you to ask this question: what do you expect from God? You know what? I think we underestimate God. I don't think we think that God can do some of the things that God can do. And we don't even pray and ask. We don't even try to seek God. We don't even try to work. We feel like that this is something that's out of God's hands. Listen, there's nothing out of God's hands tonight. And there's a couple of stories that I picked out to share with you tonight in the Old Testament I think will help you. Go with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. We're in 1 Kings this morning, but I want to go to 2 Kings tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4. On Wednesday night, we're studying the book of James. In the book of James, the fourth chapter, James said something sort of like this. I will show you my faith by my what? By my works. In other words, how much you really believe God will be how much you're willing to get out there and get done and actually get to do. So 2 Kings chapter 4, if you found that. Everybody found that? This is a story. This is not Elijah now, but this is Elisha. And remember how Elisha prayed that he would get a double portion of the power that Elijah had. And God did bless him, and Elisha was able to do some big and mighty things. I think this is one of the neatest stories. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. To me, this is a realistic story, just like it happened in 2010. There cried a certain woman, verse 1, of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, Brother Greg, I don't think they'd been through Crown, apparently, and they probably didn't know who Dave Ramsey was. They all like a lot of us, and guess what happened? There were some debts. There were some debts. I'm talking to Rochelle this week, and I said, honey, what if the Lord just takes me out of here tomorrow? So what are you going to do? Well, I ain't thought about it. So what, you think Unity Baptist Church is still going to be sending you the pastor's salary now that your preacher's gone? They'll cry a couple of days. Oh, we loved him. He was such a great pastor. And then it's like, whoop, see ya. What are you going to do? Well, you know you got bills? You know you do? Do you know that? What are you going, how are you going to pay for them? Huh? This is a real story. I mean, one day, Scott, he's there, and the next day he's gone, and you know what a man, the wife says, how am I going to pay the bills? Because, do you all know something? What if Rochelle wrote the bank a letter, Betty, and said, you know, my husband, he was a great pastor. Great husband. Wonderful father. But he died. And we just don't have the money this month to pay the bills. How do you reckon that'd go, Brother John? You reckon they'd be going, you know, it's all right, Rochelle, just don't worry about it. You know what? The rest of the world keeps going, even though her world is in a turmoil. Y'all hear me? How many of you have had a turmoil or tragedy in your life and you almost get aggravated because the rest of the world ain't stopped? How can they just be laughing and having fun and going out and eating and all that, and here I am going through this? Well, this is this woman. And you know what? Back that day in time, if they had sons, Josh and Aaron, this is how this would work out. What you all would have done is you'd have to get a job and pay mama's bills. Because your daddy's gone. And what happened was the creditor said, you know what? We're fixing to come and take your boys, and they're going to be slaves to us, and they're going to work out your debt until the debt is paid off. Now, do you think that excited the mama? Because chances are they weren't going to be working at the next door neighbors. They were going to be carried to maybe even another country, another part of the country, to help fulfill the debt. Well, verse number 2. Let me ask you this before I go further. Do you think she prayed about this? Lord, I've got some bills. You think Rochelle would pray if I died? You think she'd be praying, Lord, how am I going to, Lord, I'm going to need a little help here? You think she would? I think this lady prayed. You say, well, hey, he was a prophet. He's one of the religious leaders. He's one that was on our side, right? And he's gone. And I think that family was a family of prayer. But listen, sometimes prayer is not enough. It's only a piece of it. So look at the next verse. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, I think that probably the first thing you would do is you'd go through the things of the house and say, you know what, we're going to have to sell some stuff. Right? 1981 red Camaro, gone, right? About 4 or 5 house payments. Right there she goes. Take care of that. You know what? He won't be riding his horse anymore. There it goes. And, you know, the boys could use a push mower. They don't have to have one of them zero-turn mowers. And so we'll get the boys a push mower. We'll sell that zero-turn riding mower. You think that's what you'd do? You start thinking about things to get rid of? Mustangs and other things like that? You'd be thinking about things to get rid of to help pay the debt, wouldn't you? That's what she said. But you know all she had? All she had was a little oil. A little oil is all she had. Verse 3. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels. What? This is a big statement. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now before we read the next verse, look at me just a second. This is what Elisha said. You need to go out and you need to go to all your neighbors. You need to go to everywhere you can think of and borrow a pot. Borrow a pot that would hold oil. I mean, you go everywhere. You know what? You can't call that person because you don't like them. You go everywhere you can and get a pot. Now, this is where the story starts making sense to me this week. Look at the next verse. And it came to pass, verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, What? Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel. Now look at this statement. And the oil what? Let me tell you some facts. You and I can limit God. Are you ready for this? I think God wants to do some big things in your life. But how much are you available? How much are you willing to put out there for God to fill up? See, when I was studying in Bible school, we were taught that oil is a good representative of the Holy Spirit. How the oil moved through the candlestick, and this is representative of the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. Now, you think about this before you get mad and answer it in a different way. How many of you believe that you get every bit of God all at one time? How many of you believe you get every bit of salvation at one time? What's the difference? Here's the difference. The Bible says work out your own salvation. Does it say that? It didn't say work for your salvation. It says after you have a salvation, now you've got to start cleaning the weeds out from around it, so that salvation can blossom into more things. There's more to your Christian life, believe it or not, than going to heaven. A lot of people say, well, you know what? I got saved. I'm going to heaven. Now I'm just going to do the best I can. You're not getting a Christian life. You're not getting it. And I'm telling you tonight, the more you will hold out there to God, the more He's wanting to fill. In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus said, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You come to church and you're not hungry for God, you're going to leave here empty. But you come here to church and you say, you know what? I want to know more about God. I want God to work in my life more. I want to experience all I can in the Christian life. You come like that, I promise you, you will leave full. Because God is a God that wants to fill. In Luke 6, 38, He said, Give and it shall be given. Did He say that? Give and it shall be given. Good measure pressed down and what? Running over. Here's what happened. As long as this lady was bringing pots in, guess what was happening? They were pouring them, and what was happening? They were getting full. But what happened when the last pot came in? It just didn't run over in the floor. You know who controlled how much oil that lady got? I want you to get this. The lady. The lady controlled it. If she was alive today, Doug, and she was still sticking pots up, they'd still be getting full. I believe it. When the last pot came, the Bible said what? The oil stayed. I'm telling you all tonight, it's unlimited what God wants to do for you. You're limiting God. You're the one that controls how much you get of God. Years ago, not that far long ago, but a few years ago, we decided that the sun was bad for us. And so we come out with sunscreen. And boy, we gob the sunscreen on now, you know. You see people with the white noses and ears and they're all covered up. Guess what doctors are saying now, Jared? If you don't get some sunlight, you don't get any vitamin E in your body. I've got a granddad that's 100 years old plus. He didn't know what sunscreen was. Worked outside behind a horse. Y'all still here? Yeah, but it's ozone baloney. Listen to me. We got to have some sun. It's proven fact. How many people have been out today more than they was last week? What brought them out? Y'all go ahead and say it. Huh? What brought them out? We're acting like a bunch of bats, haven't we? Living in there, snow, you know, miserable people getting hateful, slapping your kids around if you do that kind of stuff. And you know what? Sun pops out. Greatest kids in the world. Let's just have a picnic. We come through Center College a while ago and they're out in the yard sitting on blankets reading. Oh, that's just a beautiful picture, you know. Sun changes things. Now think about this though. You and I sort of put sunscreen on us to keep the real sun from coming in God. And the more God we can get into our life, the better off we are. The woman controlled the oil. No, preacher, sure she did. God was going to dump it out. I got it. I got all you can hold, Scott. But all you got to do is give me the pot to hold it in. Because I'm not going to let it go on the ground, John. It's going to be going into something. What you and I need to do is, Lord, I fill my cup, Lord, right? I lift it up, Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We have got to start letting God give us some more. How many of you are full? Can't take no more. I'm running over, preacher. I'm not. I need some more. And what God is saying, I've got it, but you're going to have to give me some pots to put it in. Now I'm the one that controls that. You see, here we are wanting to have a Bible study on Tuesday night. Well, I got this and this and this going on Tuesday night. God says, I want to give you something though. I want to give you something on Tuesday night if you can come, but you know what? I can't give it to you if you don't show up. So you may have to alter your life around and give God a little more time. Give God one more hour on Tuesday and see if it changes your life. You that's in that age group of 20 to 30. Give God a little more time on Tuesday. Give God an hour. I promise you an hour and I'm done with you. Give God an hour on Tuesday and tell me that it doesn't help you. Preacher, I don't have an hour. Give God an hour. Find it. Drag it out somewhere. God needs another pot because when the pots stopped coming, the oil stayed. Now, you say, well, preacher, that's just one event and you know, that's all fine, well and good, but it don't always work that way. I'm glad you brought that up because I know what you're thinking. So go back one chapter to chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Here's the story. The children of Israel, we're fixing to go into battle. And they had all these cattle, and they had all these horses, and they had all these men. But guess what they didn't have? They did not have any water. There was a drought. Have you ever been thirsty? Y'all know what cotton mouth is. I don't know if y'all got to edit this on the internet or not. Y'all from down below know what cotton mouth is. I'm thirsty. Listen, these people were thirsty. They were thirsty. And there was no water. And this is what God said. God says, I got something for you. Look at verse 16. The same guy Elisha showed up and they said, Elisha, we need help. We ain't got no water for our cattle and our horses and our men. They don't have any water. Chapter 3, verse 16. He said, thus saith the Lord. This is what God told me to tell you. Make this valley full of what? Now, just in case we don't know, because we're pretty uppity-uppity, right? What's a ditch? What's a ditch?
Big hole in the ground.
All right. Wendy says a big hole in the ground. Is everybody going to agree with Wendy? Raise your hand. Big hole in the ground. Greg says no. Your brother says no. Your brother says no. What's a ditch? Huh? Mom says it's a canal. What's a ditch? They're right there beside the road. It's where the rainwater runs into and runs down the road. They can be hand dug. They can be dug with some kind of equipment. They can be concrete or not. But it's a dugout area that carries water, right? Now, why in the world would you carry water? Why would you dig ditches if there ain't no water? It makes zero sense. But here's the deal. God said, do it. He said, make this valley full of ditches. Verse 17. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Okay? It's not going to get windy, and it ain't going to rain. So what's going to happen? Yet the valley shall be filled with water, and ye may drink, both ye, your cattle, and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Now, if you read the rest of the story, this is what happened. They said, we ain't going to dig no ditches. That's crazy. No, it ain't crazy. They dug ditches. And they dug ditches. And they dug ditches. And they dug ditches. And finally, it wasn't no wind, it wasn't no rain, but coming by the way of Edom was just this big wall of water. Where'd that come from God? You think God could just make water come from nowhere? My God can. Can He? When He made all this stuff to begin with, He brought it from nowhere, didn't He? Are y'all believing that little thing that crawled out of the water, tail fell off, swung from trees for a while, and here I stand, right? You don't believe that junk, do you? I think God made the water. What do you think? And here He is again, and guess what happened? The only places the water stayed was where? In the ditches. So who controlled the water? Who did? Who dug the ditches? Listen, that wall of water was coming. But it ain't going to stay nowhere unless there's a ditch for it to go into. And you know what you have to do to dig a ditch? You just get down and pray, Lord, I need a ditch in my front yard to hold water. What do you think they had to do to get a ditch? Mexican backhoes, right? Huh? Wait, what do you think? I think they stuck it in the ground, and I think they did like this, don't you all, y'all with me? I don't even believe they had backhoes back then. Don't think somebody called in a track hoe over Tom and started scooping out this ditch. I believe that they took shovels and picks, and they got out there, and they dug ditches. And I believe they prayed as well. And you know what happened? God sent water, and guess what that water did? It filled up those ditches. And guess what those people did? Y'all going to believe this, but they drunk from it. And then when the enemy looked over there, the sun was shining on the water, and they thought it was blood, and they got scared and run right into the hand of the army. And they got slaughtered. But you know who controlled all that? God and you. See, everything I'm telling you tonight is very simple. God expects us to pray, to seek Him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened, right? Did He tell us that? But you know what? Part of it depends on you and I getting down, getting busy, and working. And here we are today, and I say, what do we want God to do at Unity Baptist Church? What do we want Him to do? Are we happy? Are we satisfied? Do we want more? All this morning, a great crowd, full, nice, you know. And I'm thinking, we got to get that other section fixed and get ready for overflow crowds. But you know what? What do we want? Because I think God will give us anything we want, but we got to be willing to work for it. We want more kids in our children's church, then we need to get out there and knock on doors, go to apartments and find more kids. Mom had a kid in her class Wednesday night who did not know, never had heard who Jesus was. 8 years old. Said it in her class Wednesday night, and she let the kids go around and tell this kid what they knew about Jesus. America, Danville, Bull County. There's people out those doors who do not know who Jesus is. What are we going to do? What do we think we can do? Oh, we're just little Unity Baptist Church. We can't do much now, preacher. I think God will do anything He'll do for the big churches if we're willing to get our pots out there and say, God, I want more. You want more? Do you want more? The lady that got saved last Sunday brought her husband this morning. You want more? I want more. But you know what? We've got to get the pots out there. We've got to dig some ditches to hold the water. God says, you give, and it shall be given to you. But you've got to do something as well. And here's the last thing. Can I tell you where the hardest place to do this is? I'm going to tell you what we could do. Go with me to the book of Matthew. I'm quitting here so I don't get into trouble. Let me tell you the hardest thing. I could, if I had the money, I would pay for everybody to go to Belize with me this summer for a week. And we'd go down there, and I guarantee everybody in this building would work like they had never worked in their life, helping those kids and telling kids about Jesus and all that. You know what? It's easy to do it in Belize. You know where the hardest place in the world to work is? Home. Y'all ready for this? Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 54. Verse 54, Matthew 13. Everybody there? And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? You mean, ain't that Jared Ayers? I know Jared Ayers. You mean, that was Jared Ayers? Was that Scott Shin? You're talking about Scott Shin that lives... Was that Scott Shin? Was that Mike Correll? Was that who that was? You know, all these people were talking about Jesus. Isn't that the carpenter's son? Jesus grew up in this town. Everybody knew who Jesus was in that town. They knew his family. They knew his sisters and brothers. They probably knew aunts and uncles. They knew all about that family. And they started saying, Jesus started telling them all this stuff. He's in the synagogue preaching to them. And they started saying, ain't that the carpenter's son right there? Brother this and this and this, and his sisters are these. Ain't that who that is? Now look at this. Verse 57. And they were offended in him. You know, people that know you don't want to hear about Jesus from you. Huh? The hardest people you ever talk to about Jesus is going to be your own family. It's going to be your next door neighbors. It's going to be the people you work with. Huh? Y'all here? Am I right or not? Hardest people you ever talk to about Jesus are the people you care the most about. And you know why? Because you're so compassionate that Jesus will change your life, that you pull all the plugs out, don't you? I don't think Jesus was loving them to death. I think He was telling them, you all need to get right. You all need to get saved. And these people are like, ain't that the carpenter's son talking like that? I know who. I used to change his diapers. Can you hear some of them talking? I mean, they were not going to take it. They were offended by Him. Now look at this. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor in his own country and in his own house. You know what? We're sitting right here in this building. You're sitting right there at your family. You're not going to fool your family. You can fool preacher. And you can fool everybody. Everybody on this side is fooled by these people over here. And everybody over here is fooled by those people. But let me tell you all a secret. The ones that live under that roof know the real story. Huh? The ones that ride in that vehicle with you to church, the one that you're dating, they know the real story. And then when you start trying to change the story to the Jesus story, they say, what? That don't go with me, because I know how you really are. Let me tell you all something. If we're going to make a difference in this world, you've got to start under your own roof. It's got to be real changes. It can't be church changes. Anybody can walk up here and pray at this altar. Anybody can say the words in the seat. But I'm talking about real changes that those children can see. The real changes that that wife and husband can see. Real changes, listen, that the neighbors can see. Huh? Had a situation a couple years ago. I don't want to drag your story, time out with the story, but I'll tell you this. And I had a confrontation come to the parsonage, and this couple came to the parsonage, didn't go to our church, but the people that lived underneath of them went to our church. And they come over there and they said, preacher, you need to do something for your church member. I said, what's going on? Well, he's drunk, he's downstairs on a lawnmower, and he's telling me he's only going to mow half the yard, and he told me if I leave my stuff in the yard, he's running over it. He's done run over my water hose, and he's sitting there cussing me, and he says that he's invited me to church before. And he said, we want you to do something about that, preacher. I can't do nothing about that. What do you want me to do about that? What kind of honor did he have in his home area? Huh? He said, I don't know anybody like that. Sure you do. Sure you do. There's stuff going on at your homes. There's stuff going on in our neighborhoods that God ain't happy with when it comes to us saying we're Christians. And look what he said. And I'm done. Look at the last verse. I think this was really where I wanted to get to. He said this. And he did not, listen. He did not. Y'all see that? What does it say? He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'm telling you today, God wants to do some mighty, mighty things. God wants to do some mighty, mighty things. But you know what He said in His hometown? What did He say in His hometown? He did not many mighty works. Is that what it said? He did not mean. Why? Because they did not believe Him. They didn't believe Him. Now, I don't know about you today, but I honestly been praying this prayer. Lord, you do some mighty, mighty works in little bitty Unity Baptist Church. I mean, Lord, you do some things that big churches can't do. Because I don't believe it's the size of the building or the number of the people. I think it's the heart of the people and what the people are willing to hold up to God and say, God, do this. I'm telling you, since June the 10th, God's been doing some stuff. He has. We've not even made it a year yet. God's been doing some stuff, but I think He wants to do bigger stuff. And I've been praying, Lord, do some big things. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think it could be just like this. He did not many mighty works there. Because of their unbelief. You know what will prove your belief? Y'all ready for this? Write this down and go home, okay? This is what you need to remember. You only believe as much of the Bible as you practice. That ought to got somebody mad right there. You only believe as much of the Bible as you practice. You can't tell me you believe this and this and this if you're not practicing that. Come on, be honest with me. You can't say that. Well, preacher, you know, I believe it, I just can't do it. No, if you believe something, you'll do it. With all your heart. With everything you got. And I'm telling you, I believe God can do some big things right here. But I know we're going to have to work. We're going to have to knock on doors. We only see visitors because we knock on doors. That's the only reason. We had a lady call today that we visited a while back, and she said this Wednesday, right? She wants to ride to church Wednesday night. She feels like she's able to get out now. She wants to ride to church. That visit happened 2 months ago. But listen, God said give it and it'll be given back. I don't think that one knocking on door Saturday is wasting my time. And I don't want you to think that either. And I want you all to get out there with me and get our cups up there and say, God, do something big. Do something big over here. You know this building holds 400. You don't believe that, do you? I didn't figure out how it'll hold 200. I'll preach at 9 o'clock and at 11. That'll work. We'll get 200 in here, no trouble. Listen, I'm not worried about parking or facilities. We'll let you park at Walmart and Bobby will run the van over and pick you up and we'll shuttle you in. I'm telling you what, that's frivolous stuff to me. The work is we need to dig some ditches. We got to go out here and get some pots up. Now listen, I got mine up, but I need some more. Because the oil's going to stay when we quit holding pots up. And the more pots up there, the more he's going to do. And the more ditches dug, the more water's coming in. And I'm telling you, we got to work, work, work. We've been given the gift of salvation. Now we need to work. What do y'all think? I'm ready. And I'm challenging you tonight to go with me and work with me. Now maybe tonight you've been slacking. Maybe tonight you realize, you know what? I have been limiting God, preacher. I've been just getting enough. You want more? You want more? Listen, you want more, ask God for more. He'll give you more. Let's stand and pray. Brian, if you'll come and just play something on the guitar for us. After we pray, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for the freedom that you give me here, the liberty. And Lord, we believe that people are wanting the same things that we're wanting. And Lord, we realize that we live in a lost and dying world. And Lord, our community needs Jesus. We just get reminded every time we see someone saved and hear one of these young people say, I don't know who Jesus is. Lord, tonight, challenge us, burden us, get us hungry. Get us willing to work. Dig some ditches. Hold some pot up. Whatever we got to do, Lord, to get more from you. Lord, I want all I can get. So, Lord, I pray tonight that your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name.